Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, broadening the state's redress scheme for people abused in school would involve unquantifiable and potentially enormous costs. That's according to unpublished government documents reported in the Irish Times this morning. The documents are said to be part of a draft briefing note on the recently announced inquiry into alleged abuse at Blackrock College and other private schools in Dublin, which is expected to report in about 8 months and is also likely to feature the question of compensation. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Professor Conor O'Mahony from the School of Law at University College Cork, who supported Louise O'Keefe's landmark case at the European Court of Human Rights. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. So unquantifiable costs, that's what we're told is in these government documents, unpublished documents. It is very hard to put a precise sum on redress schemes like these, so it's hardly surprising that that term would be used.
Yes, I think, I mean, it's fair to say that we can't predict accurately in advance just how many people might be implicated in this. By its nature, until people come forward and present evidence, you don't know. And, you know, the nature of historical abuse cases is that there are people who have carried that through their life as a secret, have perhaps never told anybody about it, and who might only come forward now for the first time. So yes, it's hard to predict accurately. At the same time, I think it's important to put this in context and say that this isn't an issue which is only coming out now for the very first time. I mean, there have been some recent revelations about particular schools which are newer. But as an issue, broadly speaking, sexual abuse in schools is something that's been ventilated quite a bit over a period of 20 or more years at this stage. And a lot of the people who are affected by this have already come forward. And so while it is unquantifiable, I think that's fair to say, I don't think we're looking at an endless floodgate situation either. I mean, I think the numbers are likely to be in the hundreds rather than the thousands mm-hmm. who would be likely to come forward at this stage.
So if somebody in government, some official or other who put this together, says that this is unquantifiable and potentially means enormous costs for the state, is that reason enough not to do it?
Well, no, because the other point that's important to make is that irrespective of what the level of cost is here, there's a backdrop here, which is that the state was found by the European Court of Human Rights in the Louise O'Keefe case to have failed in its obligations to protect children in primary schools from sexual abuse. The court found that the state knew that children in schools were at risk of abuse and that yet it handed over the control of those schools to religious orders without putting in place adequate measures to protect against the risk of sexual abuse. And to that extent, the state has been found to be at fault in terms of its human rights obligations and to be liable for abuse suffered by people in those schools. So that's a reality. That's a legal finding. And it flows from that legal finding that the state has an obligation to provide a remedy to people affected. And it's no defence to that legal obligation to say that something could be very expensive. The obligation applies irrespective of the level of cost. So ultimately, even if this is an issue which does ultimately cost the state quite a lot of money, that doesn't change the fact that the state has a legal obligation to do it.
So the fact that it may be potentially enormous in terms of the cost, that's irrelevant, you're saying?
From a legal perspective, yes. It's no defence to the legal obligation to provide a remedy for a human rights violation to say that something is going to be very expensive. The obligation applies irrespective.
What does this tell us, this unpublished document that we're seeing today, about how the state deals with these sorts of liabilities, Conor?
Well, this is part of a much wider story in relation to this specific issue, but also more broadly relating to historical abuse, which is that every time something comes out in respect of historical failings of the state that led to people experiencing serious human rights abuses, one of the first issues that really comes into focus at government level is the issue of cost and cost containment and how do we try to avoid this. I mean, on the specific issue of sexual abuse in schools, you know, we saw this very clearly after the Louise O'Keefe judgment when, you know, the state having fought the case as it was entitled to do in the Supreme Court and in the European Court of Human Rights and lost. Its first response was to set up a redress scheme that was so narrowly formulated that every single application to it was rejected. And it was only when that was reviewed by a retired High Court judge that was ultimately found to be incompatible with the O'Keefe judgment. That scheme was then replaced by another scheme which contains very arbitrary exclusion criterion around things like the date at which somebody took a legal action against the state, which creates a situation where you have people who suffered identical harm in the same flawed system, and yet some of them receive their payments and others don't. And now this raises a follow-on question with this new inquiry. You know, if we unearth further examples of abuse in schools that weren't in the public domain before now, are those people going to be entitled to receive the kind of compensation that has been offered to others, or are we going to continue this approach whereby some people receive compensation for the abuse they suffered while others receive nothing in what is ultimately a cost containment exercise by the state?
Conor, thank you very much for your time. That's Professor Conor O'Mahony from the School of Law at UCC. Now, coming up next, do you fancy going to see Beyonce at midday, or maybe you too at 3 in the afternoon? Well, Jamie Lee Curtis put it out there about these early gigs. Many are now joining that call for gigs, some gigs at least, to happen earlier in the day. Is she right? We'll debate after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.